Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Lamed. We are still hanging on Chavtes Amud Beis, and we are right in the middle of the Amud, and we are trying to wrap our head around Shitas Beis Shammai. Shitas Beis Shammai, which is an opinion here that we really were introduced to primarily yesterday on Chavtes Amud Aleph, and the Gemara is going to try to wrap its head around Shitas Beis Shammai. Shitas Beis Shammai is not accepting a viewpoint. But it does not matter. Meaning, as far as Torah is concerned, he's a chelik of Torah. And every minute, every second we spend to try to understand Shitas Beis Shammai is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. What is Shitas Beis Shammai? So Shitas Beis Shammai here in Yevamos, here we are in the third parak, is that Maimer Kona. Okay, so I say it very simply, and it's an oversimplification, Maimer Kona. So first of all, what is Maimer? So that's what we've been discussing now for already a good number of days, the idea of Maimer. Is basically the rabbinic institution that's put into Yibum, where Yibum itself, as the Torah instructs, is that the widow now falls to you for the mitzvah of Yibum, and you just simply have Bia. And Bia is the marriage. That is it. That's the beginning, it's the middle, it's the end, it's the entire marriage. It's the act of Bia that's done from the Yavam to the Yavama, Lahakim Shem, in order to perpetuate the name. In other words, to have the child. So that's the mitzvah. What the Chachamim did is they basically gave it a little bit more shape. And they basically treated it more like a marriage. Nisuin, as we know, has two stages to it. It's Kedushin followed then by Nisuin. And so what the Chachamim did is they basically shaped Yibam to look like that. And how do you shape it to look like that? So what they did is they legislated Maimer. Maimer now comes in as basically the Kedushin of Yibam. So that now when the Yavam does Maimer, so now he and the Yavama now are... Now, to say the word married... is not correct. But to say, you know, in other words, they're one step closer to the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, so one step closer to the mitzvah of Yibam, that's great. What does that mean? So halachically, what does that mean? So in the course of this Masechta, so that's a question that we're going to be asking time and again, in terms of what exactly that means. What's the ramifications of Maimer? But as far as our daf is concerned, really it's yesterday's daf. So as far as our daf is concerned, so what we're looking at is Shitas Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai takes a really strong view in terms of what Maimer actually accomplishes. So Maimer is Kona, so it acquires. Now, even as Beis Shammai says the words Maimer is Kona, we all know that Beis Shammai cannot mean that you and her now are married. In other words, you are now Kikanusa. You are absolutely married. Because we know exactly what the Torah demands in terms of what marriage is going to be. Marriage is going to be Bia. So what does Beis Shammai mean when he says Maimer is Kona? Good. That's the question. That's what we're trying to wrap our head around. So in yesterday's daf, so we saw Amoraim, who basically say, there are a couple of versions of how to say it, but basically say, you know what Maimer does? It blocks. In other words, what now Maimer is going to do is that if after you've done Maimer, somebody else comes in and attempts now to do anything to her, so it will simply be ineffective because your Maimer now has made her dedicated to you so that if anything else comes at her, another Zika comes at her, it will simply be blocked. So that is one understanding of what Beis Shammai means when he says that Maimer is Kona. It just simply means that it will block any other attempt to interfere with your interest in doing Yibam with her. That is what we said yesterday. By Rava. So where we are now, picking up right where we left off yesterday, we're on Chavtes Amud Beis, and we're halfway down on the Amud. The last word in the line is by Rabbah, it's a little bit less than halfway down. Maimer le Beis Shammai nisuin osa or erusin osa. So here Rabbah formulates the question a little bit differently, and that is, so let me get this straight. According to Beis Shammai, so what do you think? Do you think Maimer is more like erusin, first stage of marriage, or nisuin, second stage of marriage? So Amar le Abaye lamai hilchasa. So Abaye says, let's clarify. What are we talking about? Practically speaking. So hashta li Yerushalayim tamala lahafen adara hashta arusa ba'amatani. Rabbi Chiya, look, as far as to inherit her, a husband inherits his wife, in terms of being matami her, meaning if a kohen is married to a woman and she dies, he's matami for her, one of the seven krovim that he's matami for, and to be made for nedarim, and to annul her vows. So let's take Yibam out of the discussion for a moment, and let's just take a look at straightforward marriage. And again, marriage makes up two parts, erusin and nisuin. So erusin for every one of these halachas. Do you know what the halach is? The Gemara is going to remind us what the halach is. So arusa ba'amatini Rabbi Chiya ishta arusa. So if your wife is only at the first stage of marriage, where if erusin, So lo onin v'lo metamin lo. So you're not an onin for her, you're not metamin her. V'chein hi lo onen is v'lo metamin lo. Conversely, the same thing regarding her relationship to you. She's not an onen is for you, she's not metamin for you. So first of all, just onin. Onin means that at the day of the death of a karev, you cannot you cannot go into the base of mikdash, you can't do the avoda, you're not allowed to eat karban. There are exceptions to that, but anyway, that's the idea behind onin. We use the term onin nowadays in terms of describing the period of time between death and burial, but as far as the halacha is concerned, onin from a base of mikdash standpoint is just talking about the yamamisa. The night afterwards, you're no longer an onin. There may be a din derabanan, you'll be an onin the night following. I just unloaded a lot of information. Anyway, but onin is only going to be a function of you being married to her. And if you're only at the first stage of marriage, again, first stage of marriage, as far as halacha is concerned, you're married. In other words, like I said yesterday, if she commits adultery, so that is an act of adultery. If you want to separate from her, you need a get. So you're married. But vis-a-vis many aspects of halacha, even though you and her are married, but the marriage is not going to affect the status of onen, of being matame for her. Now, it's true, the Bryce we're in the middle of learning right now says that he's not matame for her, and she's not matame for him. And the Rishonim do struggle over here. What does that mean, she's not matame for him? A woman, even in an Eishes Kohen, a Bas Kohen, so there is no Isser of Tumah vis-a-vis the Bas Kohen. So Rishonim offer Rashi here, offers a couple of Pshatim. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. Anyway, let's just stay on the basic point of the Gemara. Mesa eino yorsha. If she dies, he's not yorsha. Mesu gove ksuvasa. And if he dies, so the ksuva is collected. In other words, by erusin, meaning leave Yibum out of the discussion, by erusin. So despite the fact that erusin, there's nothing to dispute. They are married. But because they haven't gotten to the second stage of marriage, so therefore all these halachas do not apply. The halachas of Yerusha, the halacha of Onin, the halacha of being Metame, the halacha of being Mefer Neder, they do not take effect yet. So now the Gemara says, so once we know that, Avad ba Maimer mi baye, so now are we really entertaining a discussion regarding Maimer? Meaning Maimer is a rabbinic institution. And if you're married to a woman via Erusin, and these halachas don't kick in, do you really think for a moment that just because you did Maimer to a woman, now all these halachas are going to kick in? Maimer can certainly not be any better than Erusin. So ve'ela le'inyan b'sir l'chupa. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. So vis-a-vis the halachas that we just went over, so that's not what we're asking. Meaning, yes, what we are asking is, to what effect Maimer's kone, according to Beis Shammai. That part's true. But lagabe, which halacha are we talking about? Oh, so the Gemara says, so let's change our topic. So So m'sir l'chupa. So maybe the question is regarding m'sir l'chupa. So my nisuin osiv lo by m'sir l'chupa. So is it like nisuin, which means that we don't need chuppah anymore? Oh, Dilma, erusin also by misir l'chuppah. Or maybe no. Maybe it's more like erusin, which means that we're still missing a step. Meaning we still need misir l'chuppah. So amalei, so again, once again, the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about that. So hashta lo ava by maimer ksiv, yavam yavo alaha, ba'al karcha. So ava by maimer mi baye. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Meaning even if you don't do maimer, so what affects the yibum? What affects the yibum is biyam. So over here, you did Maimer. Do you really think now that that is going to be able to undo your requirement that you still need to do Bia with her? Of course not. Meaning the mitzvah is Bia. So whatever Maimer is, it's certainly not going to be a substitute for Bia. So the Gemara says, Amalei Shani Omer, Kolosa Maimer Biavim to Parcha Mimenu Zikas Yivamim. Vechal Allah Zikas Erusin. So he says to him, look, anyone who does Maimer to his Yivama, so what happens now is that the Zika goes away, and Chalalav Zika Severson. And basically now you've entered into a new status, something similar to Averson. Okay, so, as much as the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around this idea of what is Maimer according to Beis Shammai, what the Gemara has ruled out is, Maimer is not going to play a role in being Mitame, being an Onain, Hafaris Nadarim, Mesira Lechupa, meaning we know Maimer is something, but still, the Gemara is struggling to really pin down what Maimer is according to Beit Shammai.
Was Maimer the Maimer, and what, you can do Chalisa, or
Again, more of that discussion we'll have later in the Masechta.
Does Maimon take away the Zika from any other brothers as well?
Well, that's what we said yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Right, good. But right. So again, the Gemara is just spending time trying to understand. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look together at a Braisa. And a Braisa, this is in Nedarim. So again, let's just go over the basic halachas we all know. A woman makes a neder while she's married. And when I say married, I mean full steps of marriage, meaning Erusin and Nisun. A woman makes a neder. So the Torah gives the right to the husband to be Mefer. The husband could be annulled. Now, this is in contradistinction to a Chacham. So we've gone over together before that a Chacham could be Mater Neder. But for the Chacham, there is, and there is no statute of limitations for the Chacham. Chacham could be Mater Neder at any point in time after the Neder was made. But the Chacham needs to hear. What was the Neder? Why did you make it? Did you realize at the time that you made it? Et cetera, et cetera. What's called a Pesach. The Chacham has to see to it that there is a reason why the Neder is in fact going to be permitted, allowed. By the Chacham. However, when it comes to the husband and his ability to be made for neder, the husband, there's a stringency and a leniency, a chumra nekula. On one hand, when it comes to the husband, so there's no cause. Meaning the husband wants to be made for neder, good. The husband's made for neder. In other words, he is the owner of her nedarim. So, and if he wants to abrogate the neder, he has every right to do so. On the other hand, statute of limitation. Statute of limitation is one day. From the time that he hears the neder, he's given now 24 hours in terms of his ability to be made for neder. Good. So that's a husband's ability and right to be made for the neder of his wife. Good. So that is the starting point. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah Nedarim goes over the following Shomeris Yavam. What about a Shomeris Yavam? So they have a relationship, but a funny relationship in that right now they are primed for Yibum. So Rachmanis, her husband, died, and now there's a surviving brother, and now he's the Yavam, she's the Yavama. So at this stage of the relationship, what is his ownership ability, his ability to be made for Neder vis-a-vis his, now let's not call her wife because it's not his wife yet, but in other words, but again, it's a Yavama. So, Shomeris Yavam ben Yavam, Echad ben Shnei Yavamim, Rebbe Elazar Amar Yafer. So, Rebbe Elazar has a really interesting shita, and that is you could be made for neder. And, let's up the ante. You could be made for neder even if there are two surviving brothers. Wow. Okay? Rebbe Yeshua Amar Lechav Elashayim, Rebbe Yeshua says, no, if there's one surviving brother, so then we could view that more like a marriage. But if there are two surviving brothers, so you don't know which one's going to do the mitzvah of Yibam, okay? And Rabbi Akiva Amar Lo Lecha V'lo L'Shnayim. And Rabbi Akiva says, nope, nobody can, even a single surviving brother cannot be made for Neder. V'havina ba, now after having learned this mission together, so the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Akiva Savarein Zika Afilo Lechad. So we can easily explain the sheets as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua. As it relates to Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Zika. Meaning that Ein Zika, as we've discussed time and again, it will be the central theme of today's daf, as it has been now for a number of dapim here in our Masechta. So Ein Zika means that there is no marriage nature to the fact that you're going to do mitzvah with the Yibam with her. And so there is no marriage, there's no marriage aspect of this relationship. Good. So that's Shita's Rabbi Akiva. And that's why even if there's one surviving brother, so yes, you are the Yavam. She's the Yavama. But from a marriage standpoint, it means nothing right now. Fine. So you can't be made for neder. And the Rabbi Yeshua lechayi zika l'trein zika. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, yes, there's a zika, but only when there's one surviving brother, where you know who's going to do the mitzvah of yibam. Ella the Rabbi Eliezer. But the most exciting shita and the most difficult to explain is going to be shita's Rabbi Eliezer. So nihina medikasam yesh zika bishlam lechad mefer ella trei amai. But I don't understand. In other words, if there are two surviving brothers, and either one of them could do the mitzvah of Yibum, and now you're telling me that either one of them can go ahead and be made for Neder, you don't know who the husband-to-be is going to be, and now either one of them, and each one of them could be made for Neder, that's a really strange position. And so now, in a explanation, an attempt to explain that Mishnah, and specifically the Shita Rebbe Elazar, so the Gemara posits the following. Do you know what Rebbe Elazar is talking about? He's talking about where there were two surviving brothers, but one did Maimer, and we subscribe to the Shita Beis Shammai, which is at Maimer's Kona. Oh, okay. So here we are, Rebbe Lazar Nadarim, with an attempt to understand. I don't understand if the two surviving brothers, how can either one of them be made for her neder? And in an explanation, yeah, one of them did Maimer, and Rebbe Lazar subscribes to Beis Shammai, which, by the way, that shouldn't surprise us at all. Rebbe Lazar is a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and so the fact that Rebbe Lazar lines up with Beis Shammai, that makes sense. But here is the excitement, and that is that all this is working within the Shita of Beis Shammai, specifically of Maimer Kona. What have we just saw together? We saw now that Maimer's Kona, Lagab the Halacha being made for Neder. Meaning previously in the Gemara dismissed this idea. Oh, Maimer Kona can't be Lagabi Nedarim in an Arusa relationship where they're married, but only first stage of marriage. So he can't be made for Neder. Do you think Maimer, you could be made for Neder? That's what we heard just minutes earlier. And now the Gemara, in explaining that Mishnah Nedarim, says, oh, Rebbe Lazar holds like Beis Shammai and Maimer's Kona. And that's why the Yavim can be made for her Neder. So Gemara says, "Iyamar Bishlama Nisu Anosim Misham Hachi Mefer." So now the Gemara says, "Okay, good. So now we have to reset the question. So if you hold according to Beis Shammai Maimer's Kona, and it makes it like Nisuin, so then I understand how you could be Mefer Neder. Eliyamar Erusin Osa Hechi Matzi Mefer. But if all Maimer is equivalent to Erusin, so then we know that an Arus cannot be made for the Nedarm of his Arusa." So we right now seem to be locked in to this position that Maimer Kona according to Beis Shammai as Nisuin. It's like Nisuin. So the Gemara says, V'atanan, and I'm sorry, this I should have just read. Nara Marasa, Avio Bala, Mefirim Nadareha. That if you have a Nara Marasa, which means that right now she is a Naira, which means that she's still under the authority of her father. And she's an Arusa, which means that she went through the first stage of marriage with a man. So now, in terms of her nadarim, so where's her, who's the owner of her nadarim? And oddly enough, the answer is, right now, there's a dual ownership of her nadarim. It is her father, and it's her husband. Meaning once the husband does a second stage of marriage, so that's it. Now, she is, I'm using the term over here just as a term. She's divorced from her father. In other words, she is no longer connected to her father. But now at this middle stage of Erusin, and she's still at the developmental stage of Nara, so now in terms of ownership of an Nedarim, it's her father and it's her husband. And so therefore, only as a joint partnership, says the Mishnah Nedarim, can they be made for Neder. So, here, if I subscribe to Beit Shammai, and Yavam is Kona, and that Shita Rebbe Lazar, there are two surviving brothers, and one of them can be made for Neder, how does that work? Oh, because he holds like Beit Shammai, And he did Maimer, and Maimer's Kona. The Gemara says, okay, must be that according to Beis Shammai, when we say Maimer Kona, it's got to be Nisun, because if it were Erusin, we all know the halacha. The halacha is as an Arus by himself cannot be made for Neder. It seems like we're locked into a pshat. The Gemara says, no, we're not. We're not locked in. Amar of Nachman by Yisak, my Mefer Bishutfus. Oh, so the Gemara says, no. What it means over here is that Mefer means partnership, meaning that we'll say that Yavam is Kona, and we'll say that according to Beis Shammai, and what we will say is that Yavam is Kona, according to Beis Shammai, basically puts it on par with Erusin. I, according to Rebbe Lazar says that he can be made for Neder. Yeah, he can be made for Neder, in combination with her father, meaning, okay, so this is Erusin, and in combination with her father now, they could be made for Neder. That's what Rebbe Lazar meant. Admittedly, that you're inserting a lot into the words of Rebbe Lazar, but the Gemara does not want to be locked into this pshat that according to Beis Shammai, Maimer's Kona, as if it's Nisuin. So, Ula Rebbe Lazar Damar Maimer LeBeis Shammai No Kona Ella Litchos Litzara Bilvad. So, let's go back to the beginning of yesterday's daf, where according to Rebbe Lazar, when we said Maimer Kona, so what did Rebbe Lazar say? He gave the minimalist approach to Maimer Kona for Beis Shammai, which is, it doesn't reinforce the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. It doesn't make them any closer, halachically, status-wise. The only thing that it does is it blocks. So now, according to Rebbe Lazar, who took the minimalist approach, so now, Rebbe Lazar, what are you going to do with that Mishnah Nedarim? That Mishnah Nedarim certainly sounds like, once you do Maimer, so now you are closer in a relationship. you have more halachic relationship status. So am I made for b'shutfos? I'm lachar Rav Elazar. Ema damriana eno konel chos letzar belvad de lo sagle begita. So what Rav Elazar says is, I'm not as much of a minimalist as you think I am. I did say, says Rav Elazar. Now, just to be clear, I this part's confusing. I admit. In other words, right now we're talking about Rav Elazar, the Amora, who yesterday went and tried to qualify what Beit Shammai meant. Even though right now we are sitting on the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah Nedarim. So I admit that part's confusing. But right now in the Gemara, Rav Elazar the Amora, who yesterday gave the most minimalist pshat of Beit Shammai, that you know what Maimer is, it just, all it means is that it blocks. But it doesn't enhance relationship. So now Rav Elazar says, here's what I would say. I would say, like I said yesterday, it blocks. And it doesn't enhance relationship. But I, even as I say that, it's a, even a little bit more nuanced than that. Meaning, I only said that legabe get. Delo sagale begita. Meaning, that at this point in time right now, let's say after having done maimer, you change your mind. And you don't want to marry her. Okay, so what do? According to Beit Shammai. So now, according to Beit Shammai, perfect. According to Beit Shammai, you need get and chalitza. That's what I meant yesterday. I just simply meant that Maimer is not going to turn this relationship into a non-Yibum event. There's still Yibum involved. Even though I did Maimer to her, even though Maimer blocks the others, even though Maimer even adds, let's even say it adds a dimension of relationship, but it doesn't remove Yibum from the equation. So if in the event after having done Maimer, so he decides, okay, I changed my mind. So now in order to separate, now you have to do chalitza and you need to do get. Get for the maimer, chalitza because you're still in a yibum relationship. Ela bainami chalitza lafer nedara mi aminan. Lo sagala beget, ela bainami chalitza. Sorry, comma. La hafer nedara mi aminan. But as far as nedarim is concerned, I could get on board with that. In other words, he has the ability to be made for neder, again, in the qualified sense that we just articulated, meaning he could be made for her neder as an arus, in partnership with her father. I could be with that position. Okay. So that's one way to try to revisit Rav Elazar of yesterday and try to smooth it over. Or alternatively, Amalecha Rav Elazar, or Rav Nachman Yitzchak Minicha. So even if you were Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, is all this plausible? Mi ketani yefaru, yafer ketani. Now the Gemara makes to the point, which I kind of alluded to just moments earlier, which is, it's not really pshat in Rebbe Eliezer in that Mishnah Nedarim. In that Mishnah Nedarim, read it carefully. What does it say? It says, yehavah shomeres yavam. Now, what can her yavam do in terms of a Nedarim according to Rebbe Eliezer? Yafer. Now what was the pshat that we were trying to offer? It means in partnership with the father. Really? Yafer means he is going to be made for neder. A simple reading of the Mishnah would indicate it's him and just him. So, Allahacha b'mayiskinan, shamda b'din, upaskal amazonos, mishalo, uchid rav pinchas mishmei derava, damar pinchas mishmei derava, kol an deres adas ba'ala hino deres. So, what happens is, they were omid b'din. He was just twiddling his thumbs. Nothing was happening. Basin basically said, okay, let's go. And Basin tried to move them forward. And upaskal amazonos mishalo. And at this point in time, meaning, keep in mind, right now in her state of being a shomeres yavam, she's in limbo. Not just halachically, but just even from a standpoint of who's supporting her right now. She had a husband. She no longer has a husband. So who's supporting her? So Basin, this is why Basin's going to get involved. Once Basin gets involved, upaskal amazonos, and Basin said to this man, look, you're going to start supporting her. You didn't do Yibam yet? Okay, great. We gave you time. In terms of the timetable, I'm admitting I don't know exactly what the timetable is. But in other words, but you took your time. You haven't done anything yet. So now, you are going to be obligated to support her. And that means to say it's as follows. And she made a neder. And yes, it's true. The Mishnah Nedarim says that he could be made for neder. And again, the word he means he. In other words, not he and her father. And what we're going to say is the following. When a woman makes a neder, so she does so with the understanding that only upon my husband's approval. Meaning that right now, currently, he is he looks to be my husband, and based on already ordered that he support me. So when I'm making a neder, and then when he becomes my husband, so then, and only on those conditions is my neder going to be chal. Al das ba'alahino deres. And as a result of that, once they get married, then he will in fact have the right to be made for neder, and presumably once they're married, he's got a day. I'm not sure about that, but anyway. But anyway, al das ba'ala. Okay, good. We don't know. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Okay. All right. We are now on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and we are starting now today's Daf. Okay. Good. Here in today's Daf, so what we're going to do is basically it's a workbook today. Okay. So if you have the time, I'm going to be going through these cases. There are going to be four cases in today's Daf that we're going to run through. I'm going to go through these cases way too quickly. And so anyone who is listening to me in real time, so I apologize on the front end where I'm just assuming that you're going to know the cases. So if you'd like to, if you have charts, that's great. The cases are almost all going to be identical to one another with slight variations, and those slight variations are going to make all the difference. And so as I know what we are about to do and what we're about to go through, it's a great workbook activity. Of everything we basically learned up until now, and just seeing it play out, if this were to happen, if that were to happen, but at the same time, however, there are four different cases over here. Okay, number one. Lamed Amud Aleph, case number one. So I have three brothers, two of them married to two sisters, and one of them married to a non-sister. And then one of the brothers dies. One of the brothers dies, one of them who was married to a sister. Okay, in my workbook, meaning I mapped out all these cases in my Gemara, so I have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to the two sisters. Levi's married to another woman, and I bumped off Shimon. Okay, could have been Reuven, it could have been Shimon, so I bumped off Shimon. So Shimon dies, now Shimon was married to one of the two sisters, and then, V'kanas Nasir Nachris, is Ishto Ameis. Now, I'm sorry, it's Ishto. Let's pause over there. And now what happens is Yibum. Now, there are two surviving brothers, but only one of them can do Yibum, right? Of course, because Reuven's married to the sister. So from Reuven's standpoint, she is a Erva, she's Achus Ishto. So Reuven can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, now Levi did the mitzvah of Yibum. Levi had every right and obligation to do the mitzvah of Yibum, and he does. Now Levi dies, and now what is Reuven looking at? Reuven now is the sole surviving brother. And Reuven now is looking at two women for the mitzvah of Yibum. So here, if you see the case, it's super clear. Meaning over here, there's nothing to discuss. Meaning one of those women is his wife's sister. So she is now off the table because she is now an erva. And what's the other wife? The other wife is a co-wife of an erva, right? Go back to page one of today of this Masechta. Sarah's erva is going to be putter as well. Good. So that one is easy. Now, also b'maimer umes, but let's say that Levi didn't marry Leah, he just did maimer with her. Now, we spent half of today's daf so far, 25 minutes talking about maimer kona, beis shammai. I'm going to ask you to forget everything we just discussed. Not forget it. In other words, we're no longer within the shita beis shammai. Okay, we are back to beis hillel. So, meaning to say that Mimer is a step, but Mimer does not create marriage. So, also by Mimer, Ume, so let's say he does Mimer, and then he dies. So now, this woman, this widow, the first widow, I should say. So this widow is really whose wife? Not Levi's wife. Yes, it's true, Levi did Mimer with her, but it's Shimon's wife. Good. So also by Maimer Umes, and then Levi dies. So Nachris Umes Nachris Choletzes Velomis Yabemis. So then Umes Nachris Choletzes Velomis Yabemis. So now there's really now from Reuven's standpoint only one widow of Levi. Yes, it's true. Levi did Maimer with his wife's sister, but it's just Maimer. So the truth of the matter is that Levi only leaves one widow. Can Reuven do the mitzvah of Yibum? with that one widow? In principle, yes. There's definitely a Zika, but the problem is that Mimer creates a certain perception. Mimer creates a perception that Levi now is married to Reuven's wife's sister, Achos Ishto. So because of that, so the Chachamim said, look, even though Me'ikar Hadin, Levi is really just married to one woman when he died, and he only left one widow, and that widow is eligible for the mitzvah of Yibam, but because of the perception that Mimer is creating, so therefore the Chachamim demanded you have to do Chalitza to that one woman. Okay, now, the Gemara starts off over here. Notice, in order for there to be this perception, this quasi-marriage, there had to have been Mimer. For a moment now, let's just imagine there was no Mimer. So again, let's just go at the point of Shimon dying. Okay, his widow. Who's the one who's going to be doing Yibum? There's only one candidate. Reuven can't because she's an heir to Reuven. So there's only one candidate, and that's Levi. Now, if you subscribe to Zika, what does that mean? If you hold Yesh Zika, it means there's already a quasi-marriage status between Levi and Shimon's widow. Oh. And if you subscribe to Yesh Zika, even without Mimer, so then what would you say if Levi were to die? What you would say now is that that quasi-marriage status of Yesh Zika is going to make it now that Levi was somewhat married to the widow of Shimon. And now from Levi's standpoint, from Reuven's standpoint, so it's his Erva and it's his Erva's co-wife. Again, all through Zika, but still, that's if I hold Yesh Zika. So if I read our Mishnah, and I read it really carefully, only Mimer creates a quasi-marriage. Without the Mimer, it sounds like it's nothing. That's exactly what Rav Nachman says. Time of David by Mimer, Halo Avad by Mimer, Nachris Yivuminami, Miyav Mamer Rav Nachman, Zosem Erzain, Zika Vafilu Bechalacha. Ah, so good. So now, a careful analysis of our Mishnah would lead us to the conclusion that the author of our Mishnah holds ain't Zika. Okay. Now, as we already pointed out, it's a major machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Earlier this morning, we went through the Mishnah in Darim with a really easy way of explaining, Rabbi Akiva holds ain't Zika, and Rabbi Yehoshua holds yesh Zika. So the fact that a Mishnah holds ain't Zika, so what does that mean to us? It means that a Mishnah holds ain't Zika. But we also know that there are other Tanayim who hold yesh Zika. So why is it significant that our Mishnah holds ain't Zika? Hold that thought. Teaser. Okay, so now, next case. The next case is going to be nearly identical, just one small difference. Shoshachim shnai mehem nisum shtei achas v'echa nasu inachris, meisa nasu inachris v'kanas echa mi bale achayos es ishto umeis. So here, this is nearly identical to the previous case. Once again, I wrote it out in my Gemara. But basically, I have three brothers, two of them married to two sisters. Now, here in this case over here, Levi is the first one who dies. Then Shimon, who is married to one of the sisters, so he does the mitzvah of Yibum. So and then Shimon dies. Now Reuven, the last surviving brother, so now what is he looking at? He's looking at two women. One of them being his wife's sister, that is Shimon's late wife, and one of them being a Sarah, a co-wife to his wife's sister. That's Sarah Serva. So, Arishon Yosem Mishom Achos Isha, Shnei Mishom Sarasa. Good. Exactly as we just predicted. The Asaba Mimer Umeis Nachris Koletzu Velomisya Bemis. Now, let's say Shimon, instead of marrying her, just did Mimer, and then Shimon died. So, once again, this widow of Levi is really Levi's widow, really eligible for Yibum. But again, Shimon doing Mimer to her creates a perception of marriage, and that perception of marriage, therefore, is going to make it look like it's his wife's sister's co-wife, therefore, Chalitza, not Yibum. So, Hasu Lamali, the Gemara says, okay, all this is well and good. It's redundant. Again, it's not identical to the previous Mishnah, but, in other words, the only difference just simply being of Shimon and Levi, which one died first. But the conclusion is going to be the same. Meaning, in both of those Mishnayos, if either one of them did the mitzvah of Yibum and then they die, it leaves now an Erva and a Tsaras Erva to the last surviving brother. It was just a question of who died first, but it comes out to be the same. So, Hainu Hach, Hashta Umah Hasam, and on top of that, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. If I had these two Mishnayos and I were to ask you, which one's the bigger Chiddush? The Gemara says, now, I say, which one's the bigger Chiddush? They're both basically, they're basically the same. The Gemara is going to at least suggest that maybe one is more obvious than the other, but they're the same. So, Umeitzasim da'achus isha hitzara l'nachris. Amr nachris asura hacha de'nachris havitzara l'achus isha lo kol shekein. Mishnah number one is a bigger chiddush. And again, I say bigger chiddush, it's subtle. Because they're, like Ben says, they're the same. So, the first one's a bigger chiddush. Because who is the original wife and who was added on? So in the first case, the erva was added on to Levi's wife. Okay, but fine. But when Levi dies, again, there are two women now being presented to Reuven. It's Achos Isha and it's Sarah. In the second Mishnah, so who was the original wife? Meaning because in the second Mishnah, Levi died first. So who's the original wife? Shimon's original wife is the erva. And then Levi's wife is now added on. Okay, so once I know the first case where the erva is an add-on and still it creates a patur, in the second case where the erva is the original wife and the tsara now is the add-on, for sure it creates a patur. Now, if that was confusing, first of all, I apologize, but the basic point is that once you know the first Mishnah, the second Mishnah, it speaks for itself. So lo kol shekein. So tanahach tana bereisha v'achazil le'eter v'shaya v'hadar chazil isur ve'aydid dechaviva le'akdame u'mishnah lo zazamim koma. So the Gemara says that there was a certain chavivas. The first Mishnah appealed to the chachamim because its additional feature in that the erva was not the original wife. The erva was an add-on, but still, once Levi does the mitzvah yibam to the erva, which he, again Levi is entitled to do, and then Levi dies. So now what's presented to Reuven is the erva and the tsaras erva. And that first Mishnah was chaviva. It had a certain appeal because it was a bigger chiddush. And as far as the order of the Mishnah is concerned, Mishnah lo zazamim kama. Meaning, once there is a way the Mishnahs were set, that's it. The Mishnahs were set. By the way, an idea that we go over time and again throughout Shas, meaning to say that even though Mishnahs require sometimes editing, sometimes adding, sometimes reinterpreting, but Mishnah lo zazamim koma, meaning once the Mishnah is set, that's it. It is set in its certain, in a particular order. Case number three for today. Shloshachin change. Sorry. Let's try that again. Shloshachin shayim emnesum sheachas ve'achanasu nachris. So once again, in case number three, we're starting off the same. Now, meis echad mi bale achayos. So here now, so this is going to be a slight difference. One of the brothers of the sisters dies. V'kanui nasui nachris es ishto. And here now, the Levi is going to be doing the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, Levi's perfectly, not only within his right, but obligated to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Obviously, the other brother cannot do the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, umesa ishto shel sheni. Now, what happens is that Reuven's wife dies. The achar kach meis nasui nachris. And then Levi dies. Okay, so now, if you're following well, and this is where I know I'm going too quickly. I know it. But if you're following well now, Reuven finds himself in a position where there are two women who are coming at him, and they both right now are eligible. Meaning historically, one of them was ineligible because historically one of them was his wife's sister. But when Levi dies, already Reuven's wife passed away. Or to say it clearer, Reuven's wife passed away before Levi died. So now, at the point of Yibum, now really from Reuven's standpoint, if you want to look at it this way, there were really two Yibum opportunities. Now the first Yibum opportunity, meaning at the death of Shimon, so for Reuven, so hard pass for Reuven. Because at that time, so Shimon's widow was his wife's sister. In the second round, however, of Yibum, meaning when Levi dies, Shimon's wife was already dead. Shimon's wife died in the interim. So now, as he's looking at these two candidates, so they both now are eligible to him. So, what do we say? So the Mishnah says, I'll tell you what we say. Ha-rezeh asura alav olam ishol v'nezer alav sha'achas. So the Gemara says, well, since historically the Shimon's wife was an erva to him, at the first Yibum pass. So therefore, even though at the second Yibum pass, she becomes eligible, but once historically Asura, always going to be Asur. Okay. Now again.
That's counterintuitive, huh? Because if the
sister, one of the sisters dies, then she'd be allowed to.
Okay. So, again, in this particular context, there were two rounds of Yibum from Reuven's standpoint. In round number one, the Shimon's wife was an erva to him. So even though in round number two, because of the loss of Reuven's wife in the interim, in round number two, when Shimon's wife is no longer an erva to him, but since historically she was an erva at round number one, so she remains usher to him. Is it count? Okay. It's similar, but it's still in this regard, I really do think that we're breaking ground over here in terms of making this point that this is a whole new Yibum event. But because there was an earlier Yibum event, and in that first Yibum event she was Asur, so now she's going to be Asur as well. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kol Yivam Shein Ani Korei Ba B'Shas Nefil Yivam Yavol La'arei Kei Shesach Sheish Labanim Ve'Asura. So the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it should sound familiar because we've heard this before. Meaning Rav's statement is that once a woman is Asura historically, she will always be Asura. So the Gemara says, so my Kamash Valan Tanina, HaReza Asura Lav Olam Itzov and Asura Lav Shah Achas. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav, you know what you're teaching us? You're teaching us a Mishnah. Meaning that's exactly what we learned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. Ma'u detema hanimi lehechad alo achzela benefila rishona. So the Gemara says, yeah, but consider that in our Mishnah over here, there was an actual nefila, meaning there was a Yibum event in round number one in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, in Yibum event number one, so Reuven had to take a pass because she was Achos Isho in round number one. Now we get to round number two. Now round number two looks totally different. Reuven's wife already died. And now Levi already died as well. Shimon was married to two women. But now, in Yibum event number two, from Reuven's standpoint, they are both eligible. So here now in our Mishnah, we're saying, look, Reuven can't marry either one of them, but because there was an actual Yibum event already that transpired, and in that first Yibum event, so Shimon's wife was an erva to him. However, if let's say in the first Yibum event there was eligibility, Ema Tishtare. So I might have thought then that, okay, if historically in the first Yibum event there was Heter, so I might have thought then we don't apply this principle. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that's what we're coming to learn together right now. Meaning our Mishnah may not be saying it as strongly as Rav Yehuda Amarav. Our Mishnah is just simply saying that when there was an actual event, and at that point in time there was Isser, that Isser perpetuates. But if let's say at the first round, it wasn't Isser, so maybe we won't apply this rule. The Gemara says, Hanami Tanina. The Gemara says, hey, wait 1 second, we already learned this. Meaning even this idea was already expressed. Shnei Achim Nesum Shnei Achayos. Let's go nice and simple now, okay? Two brothers, two sisters, right? Two brothers are married to the two sisters. Meis Echameyem V'Achakach Meis Aishto. So one of them dies, and then afterwards, his wife dies. Okay, so let me try to be clear. One of the brothers dies. That means now that we're looking at Yibum. But of course, from the surviving brother, Yibum is not an option. She is an erva to him. It's his wife's sister. And then after Yibum now presents itself, then his wife dies, which now means that she's no longer Achos Ishto. So Mesa Ishto Shosheni, Arizah Suralav Alam, it's Oven Esuralav Sha'achas. So here now we find ourselves in this position where, since it started when the Nefila event occurred, there was Isser, that Isser perpetuates, even though the reason of the Isser no longer is there. So Mao Detem Asam Hudit Chile Mahai Beisa Lagamre. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you what, I know that Mishnah. Even after knowing that Mishnah, I'm not going to be totally convinced. Because in that Mishnah over there, there were two brothers, two sisters. The two brothers married the two sisters. What happened? One brother died. So, she was rejected from her surviving brother. Again, rejection just simply as a result of her being an erva. Okay. But there, now, in that Mishnah over there, you know what we could say? Story's over. Story's over. Because there's nobody else. Meaning, there's no other candidate. There's no other Yavam. Story over. His wife dies and now she becomes eligible to him? No. We close the book. But you see, in our Mishnah over here, it introduces a novelty. Because consider, In other words, let's go back to the first chapter. In chapter number one, Shimon dies. Okay, Shimon dies. Now, from Reuven's standpoint over there, so he can't marry Shimon's widow because, again, Reuven's married to his sister. Okay, so, but the story's not over, meaning I might have thought that in our mission over here, we're not going to close the book because there's Levi. Oh. So, and Levi, in fact, did the mitzvah of Yibam. And then again, after Levi did the mitzvah of Yibam, then Reuven's wife died. And then Levi dies. But in our Mishnah, I know that she was Asura to Reuven at one point in time. And at the Shas Nefila, at the first round of Shas Nefila, I know that she was an Erva to Reuven. But what I might have thought is that I may not close the book. Because since at the first Yibum event, there was another surviving brother who did in fact do the mitzvah of Yibum. Maybe what we could do now is we could say that the story is still open, and at a future Yibum event where he does become eligible and available to marry marry Levi's widow, and in this case widows, because again Reuven's wife died in the interim. So now I might have entertained. Oh, so this is something new. Okay, so. Okay, let me discuss it with you later.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah. I did say that. Okay, we'll discuss it more after. Avahacha dolidche lemahai beisa legamri. Emamiga dechazi lahai nasri nachris chazi nami lahai kamash malan. So that Gemara says that's what we're learning over here. That in our case over here, where there are two surviving brothers, so maybe because there is one surviving brother who is eligible, so maybe this case will be different than the case of the two brothers, two sisters. Okay. So far, so good. Let's go. We have but one more mishnah to cover today. Shoshachim shnei mehem nesum shtei achayos. I have three brothers. Two of the brothers married to two sisters. Ve'echad nasu nachris, and one of them is married to a nachris. So far, so good. In our fourth case today, it starts off the same. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Levi's married to another woman. So far, so good. Now, kirishachem ibalei achayos asishto. Here. Let's introduce now the following wrinkle, the following variable. One of the brothers is megarish his wife. Umeis nasri nachris. Now, what happens is that Levi dies. Now, vikansa hamegarish umeis. Now, what happens is that the one who divorced his wife is now going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so, let's say, it doesn't matter. So let's say that Shimon was megarish's wife. And Shimon now, did the mitzvah of Yibum, Umeis. And now what happens is that Shimon dies. So, Zui Sha'amru, Vikulon Shemeso Nisgarshu, Saraseim Mutaros. So now, you go all the way back to the first mission of the Masechta. Remember what we learned in the first mission of the Masechta? And that is that what becomes the significant moment in determination of whether it's an Erva, a Tsaras Erva, you go back to the time of death. In other words, v'kulan shemesu nisgarshu. If let's say the erva were to die, let's say the erva divorces. So now what do we say at that point in time? Sarasei mutaros, the co-wives are going to be mutter. Okay. That goes all the way back to the first Mishnah. So over here, Shimon was married to an erva. That part's true. Shimon divorced the erva. That part's also true. Now when Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibam and Shimon dies, so can his widow now serve as a Yivama candidate to Reuven? 100%. Now I say 100%. What's the consideration? Ah, but Shimon was married to an Erva. What's the key term over there? Was married to an Erva. But at the time when Shimon died, was not married to an Erva. Now, time to Girish V'achakach Meis, Aval Meis V'achakach Yireish Asura. Now, Look carefully at the Mishnah. Look carefully at the structure, the order of the Mishnah. Now, the reason why is because first he was Megarish and then afterwards he dies. Aval meis v'achar kach girish. But let's say first he dies and then afterwards he's Megarish. Now, good. Right. In other words, it's going to be challenging to divorce a woman after you died. I don't mean challenging. I mean impossible. What we mean over here is not, we're not talking about the same person. And right. No, good. All right, no, you got it. Okay, no, right. Right. Let's say Levi dies and Shimon now does the mitzvah of Yibam, and now he's married to the two of them. And the two of them, and now afterwards he was Megarish. Okay, so now Asura. So Am Ravashi is Osamaris Yeshika, Afil Betray Ache. So Ravashi says, under those circumstances, now it's Asura. And Ravashi says, ah. So by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah was really specific in the order, so what comes out over here? What comes out over here is that in the event that first Giresh and then afterwards Mace, I'm sorry, first Mace and Acher Kach Giresh, I'm sorry, Mace for Acher Kach Giresh. If first he dies and afterwards he divorces, and again, the he is not talking about the same he. If first he dies, meaning the one of the brothers dies, and then afterwards he divorces, so now she's going to be Asura. Now, let's consider. Okay, upon the death of the of one of the brothers. So now, this woman is a candidate for Yibam. Okay, and now that candidate, now remember, who died over here? The Eishes Nachris, right? Levi died. So now, the candidate for her candidacy for Yibam is expressed how? Through the word Zika. Now, if I hold Yesh Zika, if I held Yesh Zika, what does that mean? Now, it means that she is quasi-married. Ah, if she's quasi-married, so now, what does that make her Legabe, Shimon's wife? It makes her a Tsaras Erva. Okay. Now, I say Tsaras Erva, by the way, but of course, Tsaras Erva through Zika. But okay, Tsaras Erva through Zika. But it's to both brothers, right? Fair. Correct. So the Avachar Kach Giresh Shasura. Am Ravashi Zosemeres Yezika Afil Betray Ache. So Ravashi says, by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah was really careful to sidestep that scenario, it's because our Mishnah holds Yezika. And let's even say it stronger. Not only Yezika, but Yezika Afil Betray Ache, even if it's two brothers. Here's what comes out over here. If you're following today's daf, and admittedly, by the way, that was a lot of information dropped in a short amount of time. But if you're following today's daf really carefully, after we have four Mishnayos here on Lamed. Lamed Amadal, four Mishnayos, four cases. After case number one, what was Rav Nachman's discovery of our first Mishnah? Ein Zika. Now we are here on the fourth case of today's daf, and Rav Ashi's discovery, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah carefully plotted out a particular course, avoiding another scenario, is because our Mishnah, when I say our Mishnah, I mean Mishnah number four, is of the position Yesh Zika. Now, here's the problem. It's a series of Mishnayos, or anonymous Mishnayos. And so, as I already pointed out earlier this morning, it's a machlokas, whether you hold Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. And a Tana holds one way, a Tana holds another way. But the anonymous Mishnayos laid out over here in today's daf, you would think that there would be one train of thought, either Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. But to now have Mishnah number one of today's daf being holding Ein Zika, Mishnah number four holding Yesh Zika, so that becomes problematic. So, Ula Rav Ashi Kashi de Rav Nachman. So Rav Ashi says, you know, I hold the Mishnah number four, Yesh Zika. What am I going to do with Mishnah number one? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what I'll do. Kashi de Rav Nachman, Amalacha Rav Ashi, hu adin, da'af agav de lo avad by maimer nachmiz mechatz chaltze yivom elo miyavma. So what I'll say regarding Mishnah number one is, I know the Mishnah over there introduced Mimer, but I'll tell you why the Mishnah introduced Mimer. Even if there wasn't Mimer, I would say there does a Zika, and therefore it is that Zika creates an Erva dilemma. V'ha diktani Mimer, lafuk ebesha medarma Mimer kona. So Mimer kona kinyan gamor. The only reason why the Mishnah introduced Mimer is because, and I gave this away at the beginning of today's daf, is because our Mishnah is there to reject Beis Shammai. Meaning, because remember, Beis Shammai, we learned in yesterday's daf, and we spent some time this morning finishing up yesterday's daf. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Mimer is Kona Kinyan Gamur. And what our Mishnah wants to clearly articulate is, we don't paskin that way. We paskin like Beis Shalom. So that's why Kinyan Gamur, Kamash Malon, Deloke Beis Shammai. And that's what our Mishnah wants to tell us that no, we don't subscribe to Beis Shammai. That's why our Mishnah introduced Mimer. Not to invite the discussion of Zika, but rather to reject Beis Shammai's position of Mimer. Ula Rav Nachman Kashi de Rav Ashi. Now for Rav Nachman, Rav Ashi is going to be difficult. Okay, and we'll pause over here Okay, we got to the Amud Beis. That part appeals to me. We'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll because this back and forth will take us basically to the Mishnah. It would have been better had we gotten to the Mishnah, but I got to run. So anyway, what we have to do is now figure out if you subscribe to Mishnah number one, what are you going to do with Mishnah number four? That's where we'll start tomorrow. Okay, Ad Kan. Let's quickly recap. Our first discussion of today, really finishing up yesterday's daf, according to Beis Shammai, Maimer Kona Kinyan Gamur. That's great. What does that mean? Okay, good. So we saw this morning the Gemara really struggle, the Amoraim really struggle in terms of articulating what does that mean. It means it's like Erusin? Is it so far to say like it's Nisuin according to Beis Shammai? Is it how does it apply to Halachas of Hafaras Nadarim, Onain, being Mitami for her, Yerusha? Like, how will it affect all those halachas according to Beis Shammai? And what we saw over the course of yesterday's Amud Beis is that the Gemara really struggled to wrap its head around what exactly Beis Shammai means when he says Kone Kinyan Gamur. And even Rav Elazar, the Amora, who gave the most limited, the most minimalist interpretation, it just simply means that blocks others. Even that sheet of Rav Elazar got a little bit qualified at the end of yesterday's daf. And then what we did is today's daf. Right, half of today's daf, and that is the four cases of the Mishnayos, basically the workbook cases of what happens here, what happens here, what happens here, and these scenarios. All the scenarios are constructed, the same three brothers, two of them married to two sisters, one is married to a Nachris, and then we looked at what happens if that one dies first, that one dies first, and we went through all the scenarios. Basically, it's just a great way to see how Yibam plays out with Erva, with Saras Erva, so forth and so on. And then the larger problem, which we're halfway solving, is that in Mishnah number one, we concluded Ein Zika. In Mishnah number four, the Diuk is Yeshika. Which of those Diukim are correct?